we seen a place was closed out of business. Depression days, 1933. 3 years now, these stories, 3 years after, you know. We have a few dollars, save a few dollars, you know. And the sign, store for rent. So my big brother, Bobby, was in charge when we took us over there. He says, I'm going to find out, the three of us, we're going to go in business. You got $300, I got $400, he's got $200, we're going to put the business. So I went to Mr. Freelander on 142 West 44th Street. He used to be Desians. Desians, I think they're still in business on 34th Street. Nice fella, nice, Mr. Freelander. So,
what did you say, Desians?
Desians, yeah, Desians Fabrics. You know, Desian Fabrics. Oh, he's at the 33rd Street on this side. Yeah. Nice brother. So he says, no, my brother went and asked him, we'd like to rent the store here. We like a restaurant. He says, you're too young. You're not going to make it. Because I rent this place a couple of times, as you know, when they go and nobody pays me. And I don't want you to lose your money. Depression, you know, very. It was bread lines out in the street, you know. There was a bread line on Times Square. Was it, the apples in this 2 5 cents an apple? Was a bread line on, what they call it, Columbus Circle? Was a bread line on 14th Street? Yeah. So he says, too young. Better don't invest your money because you're going to lose it. So anyway, Dean, he wouldn't give it to us. We kept working. Somebody else ran the place. And most went out of business. He lost it. We try again. He said, no, can do. This guy lost it already. So, third time, they were out of business. So he went there for the third time. He says, all right, okay, the rent is $150 a month. See, it was a big place, nice, good. And give me a month in advance, deposit, a month in advance, you know, but give us a month free. They give you bonus, you know, to get situated. So anyway, we, you know, make connections. The milkman gave him money. They give you money, the breadman gives you money. You know, supplies, and they give you money, so much money, the coffeeman gives you money.
They gave you money in order
to
use their
service. Yes, to establish, yeah. You buy the product, but they give you money, they give you cash. See, the pie may give you so much money, all the put you in business, you know. And we opened up. It was pretty good, you know. We left there for 33 years.
Pretty good, huh?
We enlarged it, we fixed it. We used to call it Two Drop In. There was a gambling joint there. We didn't know. We don't know about it. So, what's a good story? It's a good story, I tell you. I was a tough man. There was a tough neighborhood. Nobody could work there. They beat them up. I used to go to YMCA on 64th Street, 63rd. And I was a good physique and I was good strong. So, they want to close at nighttime. I said, no, we're going to open it. I'll be here at nighttime myself. Me, a cook, and another, and a dishwasher, and a counterman, were four of us. So the place got to keep 24 hours a day. So we had it the first night in business, we made $7. Second, 12, and 14, and 15, and then it started going up. But it had a bunch of, because the time was Irishmen drinking. They go in the restaurant, they didn't want to pay. Yeah, they used to call different names, so and so, and so and so. They had three guys that come in and make a trouble for me all the time. So, yeah. Yeah, they come in, they order pork chops. They want food, dessert. I'm not going to pay you. Why not? No. Were you tough? I'm not going to pay you. So, them two, three times. So, was a man, a showman, nice fella, his name, Eddie Leonard, a Mr. Man. He was a very big star, big known. He was my customer there. So he says to me, Andy, I told him I'm going to close the place at nighttime, no more. Why? I told him, they come in nighttime, they give me a hard time, they don't want to pay. They eat and don't pay. He says to me, I tell you what to do. I said, what? He says, tell him from Chicago, South Side Chicago. The only kids come from Chicago, South Side, he says to me. Yeah. Don't be afraid. So I'm going to use that. So he come in, 2 o'clock in the morning, drunk, three of them, pork chops. Are you going to pay? Don't worry. Give him pork chops. Three pork chops, pies, cakes, and all. Eat and eat and fill up, you know. They give me a check. It wasn't very much. A pork chop was 25 cents a plate. It was about a couple of dollars for three of them. See? I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to pay you. I say, hey, just a minute. You did it many times here. I got here to make a living too, you know. Nothing doing. So go in the kitchen, I got a big knife. Pound by the table. I cut you through all of you. I'm from Chicago. South side. Understand that? South side. Hey, hey, wait. No, no. No, get him paid. Hey, hey, this guy from South side Chicago. Oh, no. No, got to pay him. Yeah. So they pay, and the war went around. They got...
Okay, we're resuming now after a short break, and we were talking about the restaurant on 44th Street.
114 West 44th Street, and around the corner used to be the a theater, big theater. Used to have a circus in there, and the seven-day bike. They have this stroll, they have the highlight. I learned to speak Spanish for them, you know. Hippodrome Theater. That was a Hippodrome Theater between 43rd and 44th, 6th and 5th. That was a big place. Jimmy Durant used to play there. Used to come in.
He came into your restaurant?
He's at my place, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Used to have company in the hotel, 44th Hotel. He's coming, Andy, send your man, such and such place, see what she wants. Send the food. I come and pay you later.
Now,
were you two brothers and you? Were three brothers, three of us. I was a night man, the two brothers in daytime. Uh-huh. And I built up a nice trade in nighttime. I had the wrestlers coming in, all the behavior wrestlers. I had the hockey players, the, what they call the Rangers. All my customers come in, and before they go to play, I had a nice special steak and a Greek salad. Special, oh, they all come in and eat, and they would play at Metro Garden on 48th Street and 8th Avenue.
And this was called the Dew Drop Inn?
Dew Drop was before we took the place. Used to call the Dew Drop Inn, but it was a bad reputation. It's a big room in the back. There was a gambling joint. They got tables, poker games, they got slot machines. So when we got the place, we refused, we don't want him. So the man came, shook me down, he said, hey, you better keep the machine here, because said my brother, I said, don't want him. You find your brother in Hudson River, he says, you better keep that machine here. I said, I'm not afraid of you. Get this machine out of here. Slot machine, you know. So they took it out, had a lot of alcohol, you don't want to do it. And we got him out, but no problem, it didn't bother me, you know, because I stand for my rights. I'm not afraid of nobody, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm in the right thing. And he ran nice and smooth. We removed all the things he had there for gambling, devices, everything out. And then we larger place, put him back. We have nice business. On the corner of 44th Street and 6th Avenue was a hotel, it's called Florence. Jackie Gleason used to live there. They had a partner by name Jackie Welland. They had the girls, the chorus girls, all these burlesque girls. They had the strip teasers, Gypsy Hart, Gypsy Rose Lee, Margie Hart, another one, it's four, five, more than, they have five shows. They got one in Coney Island, three in Times Square, one in Harlem, and one in Jersey City. All the crew, all the dancers, and all the, used to live in the Florence Hotel, very cheap. 50 cents a night, get a room there, 50 cents a night. By the week, I think it was much cheaper, you know, yeah. And they used to come and eat in my place. I fed them all very good. Good business, you know, yeah.
Who cooked?
I had cooks. I had cooks, oh yeah, I had chefs. I didn't pay much. In those days, you don't pay much to cooks. You know, everybody worked for peanuts. We did. Cup of coffee, 5 cents. Piece of pie, 10 cents. We had a special ham and eggs, home fried potatoes, toast and coffee, 25 cents. I don't have a menu to show. I don't know what to do. Had a menu.
Now, who bought the food?
They come to you. We have men come in, they call you up. The butcher called me up. The fisherman called you up, you know. The vegetableman called you up. They come in, deliver. Here's your money. That's it. Pay, you know, pay cash, pay less, you know.
what did you call your place?
Oasis. That's Oasis. The Oasis. See, you have big, the newspaper men, reporters come in, looking material. What did you see today? Andy, what did you see? I should tell them. Yeah, lots of information. Alton Cook, the war telegram before, many years ago, gave me a big whole page. What's the name? Ilya Kazan. Used to come to the place all the time. Oh, yeah. Two boiled eggs, 4 minutes. Nobody could make him. We make his eggs. He was very...
What kind of a man was he?
Very good. He was a good guy. He was all right. Nice fella. Yeah, very sad. But when I told him, when he became famous, when they made that picture, the Hustlers, uh-huh. Some of my customers, Lee J. Cobb, my customer. Oh. It's another by name, Few, they took my place. They took and made that picture in the Jersey City, in a bar. So a wrestler came in, he said to me, Andy, talk to your friend. He was a good friend of mine, Kazan. Tell him I give me a job. They're making a picture. I said, go ahead, tell him I send you. Go ahead. Go and see him, Jersey City, whenever you know. So he convinced him, he went up there. He just opened the door, in the bar. Get over here and get a glass, he told him. Kazan, tell him, get a glass of beer. He gave me a glass of beer. Hold the glass up. Took a shot, okay, go and get paid, $20. $20 just to be the fastest money ever made, $20. In one shot, see? Mm-hmm. Glass of beer in the hand. Mm-hmm. It was in there, yeah, see? And I got a lot of the cast who come in. They used to have the March of Times. You remember that? I don't remember, war time. The March of Times.
March of Times.
Yes, yes, March. Terry DeCorsia, he used to talk about Mussolini, for Mussolini, he used to call Hitler, he used to call Hirohito. For all them guys, he used to voices. His name was Ted DeCorsia. See, a nice, good friend of mine, very good. And they come in with the 2-3 taxi cabs. How many people, Andy, how many people in here? Okay, they fill in, take them to Astoria Studios to make the March of Time. Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. And,
well, you know, Ilya Kazan is still alive.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And did you know that he came through Ellis Island?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, used to come here, very good spoken, nice spoken. But when they became famous and the reporters came in, and they, yes, I told them, his name is Ilya. You very popular man, I told them. They want to take a picture and they talk to them, No, he's not going to talk to anybody. Like this, no, don't want to talk to anybody, yeah. Yeah. But it was all right, it was every day, he come in the place, have breakfast, 2 boiled eggs, 4 minutes. He cannot too soft, not too hard. You got to be just so, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's go ahead. Well, you never mentioned your younger brother. What was he like?
No, he's older. Older
he
than I.
A bit older.
Yeah, yeah,
Number one
was here. I came the second. The other brother.
Yeah, that.
He passed like a couple of few years back.
What was
and
his name?
He was Theodoros. Theodore.
Theodore.
Yeah, Theodore. Yeah.
What kind of a person was Theodore?
He was quiet. Very quiet. I went to Florida, 1938. I bought a car, one of them, a small, coupe. And a friend of mine, his name was, he was a furrier. Meisel. His name was Meisel. Jerry Meisel. And I went to go to Florida. He said to me, Andy, I'll go with you. We pay the expenses, 50-50. I said, why not? I don't know. I never went to Florida before. Just bought a car. A new coupe Chevy, I think about $600.
What year was this?
1938. So, we took the car, first stop, Washington, D.C. He says to me, look, I got only one leg, don't get there. We slept in the same room, double room, Don't get scared, he said to me, because I can't know, the man, his knee went down, he had an artificial leg. He said to me, don't get scared, he said to me, don't worry, it's all right, see. So, we got acquainted when. And then next stop was Georgia, and then Florida, and then I went to Miami. Took us 3 days to get down there. A nice time there. Very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fine. What my brother did, what you say?
Yeah.
So he called me up. You better come back. I can't stay here. They very rough.
They what?
Rough people. They couldn't handle them.
At night.
Because when they see I'm not there, they took a free hand to do what they want. He said, you better come back. I'm not going to stay. I'm going to close the place.
Come back. Well, in other words, during the Depression, you were doing all right.
Yeah, they can't complain because I work. Uh-huh. You work. See, you give you a dollar or two tag, you go to work, that's all. At least the restaurant we eat.
Yes.
We eat. and you go in the street, buy 5 cents an apple, all the veterans, World War One, they say apples in the street, 5 cents, cold winter, you know. And you see them guys in the bread line shivering, cold, snow, you get a cup of coffee and a sandwich, and all, you know, it makes you chills come through you, you know what I mean? Yeah. In every corner you see a veteran, big apple box, apple selling 5 cents an apple, good apple, see what I mean? Mm-hmm. But thank God, we have no complaint, can't complain, I make good. I work my head up 7 days a week, and then we started losing up a bit, but we pay all the debts. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Freeland was so good. When I went to the army.
Now, when were you called into the army?
1943.
And were you married at that time?
No, I was a single man. I used to live in the hotel, 142, Desian's building, Desian, the guy who owned the, you know, he says to me, come down, I got an apartment, you rent it. Used to be only the Gimbel brothers used to live there. A governor of Jersey used to have a room there. At that time, I don't know what his name, I think it was, years back, you know. He used to eat in my place. Used to go to the Astor Hotel and send the bellboy, go to the Oasis and get me a couple club sandwiches. Ask Andrew to fix it for me. And he says to me, the bellboy says to me, you must have good food, he says, because the governor sent me over here. They got so much in our place. We had a big restaurant in Astor Hotel, you know, and they sent me over to you. Well, I said, I treat them good, yeah.
So what happened when you were called into the army?
I called in the army, I went for induction, I went to Governor's Island. We were two of us. I have an actor with me. His name was, we were good friends, you know, because all, you know, I went together.
Was your brother called too?
My brother went before me. The first and the before they were here before, he went right away. Right away, and I think once I'm 42, when I started drafting, he was the first one to go. So we went this fella here, Governor's Island, examined, passed everything fine. And then I asked for the...
You must have become a citizen then.
Oh yeah, 1938 I became a citizen. Yeah, 1938, oh yeah, well, you're a citizen, I got my paper right away.
Was that a thrill?
No, 36, when I got my paper, oh yeah, oh yes. You know who made me a citizen? Two detectives were good to me because I told them, you better help me here, I'm in trouble. No, I was working on 59th Street and 9th Avenue. It's an elevator, there was an elevator, 9th Avenue elevator, before I went to the Oasis, before I bought the place. So up there were trouble. Black people, trouble, drunk, come in, don't want to pay. So I said, the one. See, this man says to me, he had a cousin there, tough guy. He didn't want to do it. Andy, you take over? Take your night time with your night manager, you tell the night manager. And take care of the business, get the money and so on. So I stayed there, I had trouble. So detectives, I met them up there, I told them, look, boys, I'm not going to stay here no more. Them guys, you know, it's battle zone. Trouble every night. Don't worry, take care of you. We had an outside sign, see? Bring a sign, kaftans. Luncheonette, what they call it, you know, see? Small place. And I says, they cruising around the detectives at nighttime. He says to me, anytime you're in trouble, shut the sign. So I did. They helped me good. I kept my job. And they says, I'm going to make you a citizen. I told them I'll be glad to. It was 1936 I became a citizen, yeah. 5 years I was here. Yeah.
Now, did you have to go to classes? No.
I went to Christopher Street, was the, what do you call it?
The immigration.
Yeah. Christopher Street, but no, they asked no question. And the judge asked me a few questions. One question I didn't know. He says, what president was killed in office? So Mackenzie, Mackenzie. Okay, that's all. That's all right, yeah. So.
Now, did you pick up English better?
Yes, as we go.
Just in the course of
living business. Business. Uh-huh. And then with the army, and I, you know, pretty good, you know, yeah, people to talk, you know what you're talking about. But you learn English and nobody to talk. You know, good to you. Yeah. See, we learn, I went some time up there, I know a few words to get around. But not freely, you know, yeah. See, but it was all right. America good, Chicago. America all right, Chicago.
Okay, so you were called into the Army, and yes. Then where did you go?
I went the first stop, Camp Upton. Camp Upton, right here in Long Island. Camp Upton.
Oh. You
learn. So now is now I think is what they call this observatory, what they call it. Yeah, right here now. You're not very far. Camp Upton, Camp by train down here. All my help, they come in to the station, Pennsylvania Station, goodbye. I was up there like a pawn shop. The actors come in, actresses, chorus girl, Andy, I need $5, I'm broke. I got my radio. Sure. I give me $5. Andy, I need money. Give me. I got about 25 radios. And I never, nobody came back. So what I'm going to do is I give them my help. Because we established our business. I give all the radios to my help. Because what I'm going to do with them? I have no, I wasn't married, I was a single man. Used to live in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I had a cousin. I give me my information. I put in my, you know, to the restaurant. Listen to this. I had a man to buy it. And now they fell on 6th Avenue, had a restaurant to me. Andy, I pay you $25,000 for your restaurant. Okay, I say accept it, I take it, because I'm to the Army. So he went to the last day. He comes in, no, one day before, he said to me, I can't buy it. I said, why not? He says, no, I changed my mind. I said, you made the last minute? Why you do that? He says, I'm sorry, you want to run it for you? I'll run it for you, but I'm not going to give you any money. Get out of here. So, I went to my landlord, and I told him, Mr. Philander, I'm going to the Army. So my brother, the other brother, went before me. There were two of us. So, I'm going to give you 2-3 months in advance. Keep the place. Close it for me, I close it, you know, see? Keep the place. When I come back, if I come back, it's okay. If I don't come back, can I sell the place and get what you rent, get what's coming to you. Huh. But he's doing nothing doing. I don't want no money from you. You're going to the Army for a good cause. Don't worry about the rent. But I make a check, I think for $500 or so. And I put it in his desk. See? And then I came to Camp Upton and I found it. He says, I put the money in the bank for your name. We made that check, Mr. Miller. I don't want a penny from you. I said, nice, man. This is what the Winchell was, you know, mm-hmm. Winchell. And from Camp Upton, he went to South Carolina, Camp Croft. I think it's North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the places. I think it must be North Carolina, yeah, Fayetteville. And I got my basic training there. Mm-hmm. My basic training. So, I'm sure I don't find there. But good. I mean, I got friends everywhere. No, no trouble. I used to get the jets. Come on, you guys. We want to go. I know a Greek restaurant. Taking 30, 40 guys. He says, I can handle them. Give me a whole company. It's very good. It's good. And
so
I finished.
So when did you see action?
Plenty, oh, yeah. Oh, plenty.
Tell
action.
Me about
no,
that.
But I don't want to talk about it. No.
You don't want to talk about this? Okay. But you received a lot of medals and.
I said plenty action, yeah. But I don't want to talk because.
Okay. How did you feel about serving in the United States Army?
I'm very happy, pleased. Very good. You're good. Oh, you're good. I was at the kitchen. I was a rifleman. First, I was a combat man, and they put me in the kitchen. In the hard time, too. We got some wise guys in the Army, you know. They tell you, hey, I'm the boss. So, I'll tell you a good story what happened one time. I never want to hit anybody. But, see, I was hurt, and they sent to the hospital. Hospital. And I wound up in England, in a place. It was a rehabilitation hospital, and I spent about 30, 40 days to come to, you know, all my troubles and all that, you know, for combat, you know. So after discharge from the hospital, they sent me to a place, it's called Replacement Depot. It was near Salisbury. It was a big depot, a big place, you know. So I always want to put my name, KP. So KP, you know, the wash the dishes so on. Mm-hmm. But I never put a KP washing this. I go in the cook, say, I cook, wanna help you. Good, stay with us. See, stay with us. So I will never see fresh eggs in combat. You don't get no fresh, everything is canned or powder and everything else. So I see nice fresh eggs, fresh chopped meat, I make myself a nice omelette. So an officer comes in. What do you do here? Is that you? You eat this? Yes, I do. Is that on the menu? I said, no. Well, you're not supposed to eat it. You eat, everybody's on the menu. I said, look, My stomach is bad. I volunteer for the job. I'm not here to stay. I got to eat what I like. What you have, I don't eat. Blah, blah, blah. So I told the girl, I get out of my back. Leave me alone. But anyway, the same place, I was helping the cooks. There a couple of weeks. So they had a Captain Crenshaw. He was in charge of the mess hall. And he was a very tough man, drunk all the time. He used to bother the cooks. Anybody don't do the job, front lines. A lot of guys got killed on account of him, you know, they told me. So, but my papers say, do not send overseas, limit duty only, because I heard already. They won't send you back for a second time, because, you know. Yeah. So he came in one morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. I just fall asleep. Hey, wake up. What for? I want you to meet my company. Gonna make some pork chops, potatoes, salad. I said, I'm not gonna do it. Why not? I said, no, I go in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'll be there 6 o'clock, not now. He says to me, you obey, you refuse an officer, you know, orders. I said, this is not in line of duty. This is private. You get somebody to do that for you. I won't do it. So anyway, I never did it. So 6 o'clock, I went back. I went to work, I fixed it. No. In 12:30, finish up, in 1 o'clock, I finish up, and I went to the order of the room, and I says to top sergeant, I want to pass. I want to go to London. I want to pass, I want to get out of here. Fine, he said, go ahead and, you know, I want to shave and clean up, we got to pass inspection, see? So the captain comes in, right in the bathroom, when I was shaving. Hey, you, who are you calling you? You're a combat man? I said, yes, I am. What do you want to do about it? He says, I'm not afraid of you. I want to fight you. I said, well, you leave me alone. I don't want to fight. I said, well, I'm going to go to town. I got a pass. I want to fight you. I said, all right. So I finished shaving. It was one flight up, you know, like a hotel, you know, the camp, British, you know, camps, you know, and so on. So I called the first sergeant. I called, hey, you guys, come over here. I want to see fight the captain.
This is Captain Crenshaw?
Captain Crenshaw. So I told him, you remove your jacket, remove your hat, remove the bars. Because I respect them. But you don't respect them. I say, remove the bars, put them up there. Okay, sure. Remove the cap in my jacket. Get on top of that one. They love it, they like it. He's to be serious. I say, you want it? You ask what I give it to you, that's all. Go ahead, call Marshall. I say, go ahead. I call Marshall. What are you afraid? He said nothing. He didn't say nothing to me no more. Finished. Didn't bother me at all. No more. No. I stayed a couple of weeks. And then I say, I can't stay here no more. I want to go send me any place else. They sent me in Southampton, a place called Tidworth, GI Barracks. And I was there for a long time. I had points to come home, but my major in charge of the camp, he won't let me. He says, Andy, you're doing a good job. Stay here. We're going to go home. Why do you want to go home for? You're all right. So, yeah, I listened. He was a good man. He was a good captain. Major, I remember his name too. He used to ride with him, yeah. But he got killed the same way Patton got killed, by Jip. Because I used to send them letters over here from Virginia. And we used to, you know, correspond. And then his mother or somebody wrote to me, he says, I'm sorry, but he's not with us anymore. We have an accident. He died, you know. And he was good to me. So he says to me, don't leave, stay with us. See, because I used to run officers' mess. Mm-hmm. When the war was over, we sent officers, discharge them, and come through our mess hall, they go to Southampton, get a boat, and come home. Mm-hmm. There was the Queen Mary, Queen Elizabeth, and different other ships, you know, to bring them home. There were no planes that time, no airfare that time, you know, see? So anyway, after we sent the officers, we sent the GI brides. See, the guys who had married in England, mm-hmm. They bring them over here. They stay in the camp. We fed them. We take care of them. And I had a KP, a Puerto Rican boy. And he says to me, he used to get PX. You get the cigarettes for a nickel. A pack of cigarettes, 5 cents. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, brides, you charge them more money. You charge them a lot of money. You go to sell them. So somebody went to the major's ear. He called him, hey, come over here. What are you doing? You sell cigarettes to these ladies over here? He said, my cigarettes. No, not your cigarettes. Yeah. So anyway, 10 days, better than water. He was a bit chubby boy. So in 10 days came back, slim as can be.
Well, now, how did you feel when the war was over?
Well, you feel good. You know, because war is not a joke place.
No. And then when did you meet your wife?
My wife, I met him in my restaurant after the war in 1946. I got out in 46, yeah. And I had a friend, a relative or so. He brought it with his wife and this one here too, in my restaurant. We met out there, you know. We sent them like a day, went out, we got together, you know.
Did you court her for a while? Did you have a long courtship?
No, well, about 6 months we were together before we get married, you know. For 6 months we used to go out and here and there. And, nice, you know, she, yeah, always have a car, take them to different places when I go, have a good time.
And then did she work in the restaurant at all?
No, I wouldn't let her work in the restaurant because, you know, she got all kinds of people up there, you know, and they say, why don't you give us a break to somebody else? I don't want any people to say that your family working here, you know what I mean? Give somebody else a break. People, they need a job.
Yeah.
Thank God, I don't need anything. Uh-huh. See, so she stayed home, and I hired people. I had 3-4 girls, uh-huh. A couple of dishwashers, 3 cooks. You know, we were running smooth, nice.
Yeah.
I had 3 different shifts, you know, all the time, you know. No more 7 days a week, 7 hours a day. 7 days a week, yes. But, 8 hours. Uh-huh. And get on fine.
Now, did you have children?
Yeah, I got 3.
What are their names?
Dimitri, Gregory, and Christina. They all married.
Uh-huh. Do you have grandchildren?
I got 5 grandchildren. Uh-huh. Yeah. Dimitri's got 2, uh-huh. Boy and a girl. Gregory got a son. And Christina got 2, boy and a girl. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, he may have great-grandchildren before.
No. See, my wife had problems, she had trouble. You know, she lost 2 of them, we got married. We don't know, 10 years after we got married, she had the first, you know. She had 2 miscarriages. She was in very bad trouble, you don't know. And she works like this, you know. You had bad operation. Mm. Your doctor was no good. The doctor must have been drunk. Mm. I can still say he cut the spinal cord. That's why she dragged herself, you know. Doctor, you don't know. She spent 6 months in the hospital. She almost died, you know. She almost died. Yeah. In the San Francisco hospital, 3 months. And 3 months in the, what they call, another place down below, you know. She, you know, 3 months for rehabilitation. I bring her home, she was like a vegetable. She couldn't. I said to me, the doctor said, keep her busy, walk her up and down because she's going to freeze up and you will be able to. So every day, up and down, all the time, all keep her busy, you know. Thank God she's walking, but first she could not. I had a nurse to take care of here, you know. She couldn't walk, she couldn't, was, you know, like paralyzed. Thank God, little by little back, you know, she, you know. Now she walks, but I got a hold on me. Yeah. Not by yourself, you know. I got a hold on to me for any place. She cannot, you know, she can't hold you. Mm-hmm.
Now, you and your wife remain a religious?
Yes. Yeah, Greek Orthodox Church, yeah. Greek Orthodox Church, yeah. Uh-huh. And we're Christian, our children, you know, yeah, according to our tradition, our, you know, our responsibility. Uh-huh. Yes.
What traditions do you think you've held on to from Cyprus? What kinds of things did you not give up to become an American?
Well, the story is this. I told you they have to get away from the British, the first place.
First, you got away from the British, right?
And second, you're looking for a better world. Uh-huh. You hear so much about America. America is good. Come to America. Everybody rises. You're over here. Come over to America. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Later on, tell you a story about America, you know? Yeah, but not now. Yeah. A good story.
Well, I'll tell you, we have maybe as much as 5 minutes left, so I'd like you to tell anything you would like to tell. Not here, you can tell whatever you want.
Yeah, well, see, actors, next to me is the Lamps Club. I don't know if it still exists now, I don't know. See, my building came down 1946. They tore down the building.
In order to build a high rise?
Yes.
Now, what was next door to it?
Lamps Club, well, the Lamps actors. Uh-huh. It is the hotel next to me, and then is the Lamps Club, the actors. Yes. All the big actors used to come to my place. Mm-hmm. They come in, you know, yeah. I had a big star there now. Bottle of ale, 10 cents.
What?
Ale. Ale. Uh-huh. We used to call it ale. Scotch ale used to call beer, ale, 10 cents a bottle. A bottle, no Canada time, bottle, 10 cents. You see, you know, it's depression, no money. And was 22 from 6th Avenue to Broadway, 22 eating places, luncheonettes, and hotels. Oasis left my place because I undersold them. I'm telling you, I used to good food. Mm-hmm. Had a good food, they come in. I had a friend from the Lambs Club. They brought his brother from Minnesota was or something. He was a bank president. He came in, sat on the table. He said, Mandy, two breakfast, please. That's all he had to say. So I told the girl, two half a grapefruits, bacon and eggs, home fried potatoes, toast, coffee, and serve them. Didn't have to order anything. So he, after they ate, came in, says to me, so good. He says to me, we got home. He says, we like home. See, he didn't have to order anything. Mm-hmm. See, I know exactly what everybody wants. And I take care of them. They're very good. I was not a good big star you see on television. I fed them. Mm-hmm. Many were broke. They didn't have a dime. I fed them. They didn't pay me. Some of the people, they didn't. There was a fellow by name, he had a television program of his own. After, you know, after, when the war declared, all them guys, 4Fs, they went to Hollywood. They made success. They couldn't get no jobs here. The three people sleep in the same bedroom. They come down and hang around in my restaurant at night time with puffy and a little paper. Make one guy sleep, the one, you know, exchange, to sleep, the other guy to sleep. With depression, things were bad. No, I feel sorry for them. But I fed them. Nobody went hungry. They went up on an account and said, you know, you eat. Don't worry, don't pay me. And I feel a lot of people, believe me, I feel a lot of people. No money. So this man here, he had this public defender. Reed Headley is the name. He used to give me a quarter to go to the Radio City Music Hall to see a show. He used to give me 10 cents on 42nd Street to see a show. It was a dime on 42nd Street in the morning. And 25 cents at the Radio City Music Hall. He used to give me money to go and see a show. Oh yeah, he made good, he come back and thank me so much. But he never paid me, he owed me money. He died, I don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them actors, they owe me money. Mm-hmm. I fed them, I don't care, because I was in business. Mm-hmm. One night, a sailor came in wartime before I went to the army. He was a regular customer, came with his girl. He went like this, you know. He goes around, her counter and tables. It was, everything was packed. Come on. Andy, what are you doing here, playing bingo? I said, what's the matter, you hungry? Yes, I'm hungry. I said, okay. So I took him in the kitchen. I got a big place in the back. I fed him in there. One more thing, I was sorry to tell you. It was a young kid, a sailor. He said to me, Andy, please do me a favor. I said, what do you want? He said, I'm in love. And I'm getting a girl, I'm going to get married. Can you stand still for me? Can you pay the expenses? So he brought the girl. I said, yes. So I put my girls, with my waitress, as a bridesmaid. on 74th Street, the church on 74th and Broadway. They got married. I brought them on 42nd Street. It was a restaurant there, a Greek restaurant. I think about 15 or 20, all my personnel here, some friends. And I told the man, take care of everybody, pay, you know. And I told him, he thanked me so much. I don't know, the kid came back, he died, I don't know, before the war, yeah, wartime, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went to the army, and I lost track of them, you know what I mean. But I think that's this thing right here. He was so thankful. I don't know, I have nobody here, I have to somebody to pay, you know, to get married. So I did. I helped him out, you know. Young kid, he was in love, you know. He says to me, I cannot, you know. Yeah. He's come from down west someplace. I don't remember exactly. But I took care of him, yeah.
Uh-huh. Tell me, what do you think your life would have been like if you had stayed in Cyprus?
Same, you know. You can't get anywhere there. You cannot. No chance. You're born rich, you stay rich. You're born poor, you stay poor.
Well, you were born not rich, but...
Very good. No, it wasn't. You know, it was very good. My standard was good. My father was good. You know, he was all right. He had people working for him. You know, he was. You know, he never do out and field work.
Did you stay in communication by letter after you came?
Oh yes. Write a letter. My father was here in 1957. President Makarios came over here. Brought him from. He came together from Athens. He met him in Athens. Papa Dimitri, he says, you're going to New York with me? He said, no, I'm not going to shave my beard. He said, take my kalimafi. So they have my, you know, because the robes, they got to wear the robes. Mm-hmm. They got the beard. They got the kalimafi, which is on the picture.
Spell kalimafi.
Kalimafi.
That's called, the hat?
Yes, the hat. Kalimafi. Let me write down because I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here.
Yes, he says to him, you have to do it, it's okay. Kali Maki, see?
Okay. And so he came with
him. He came over here, and we were at the, what they call that, the Kennedy Airport. That time used to be the Idlewild Airport.
Yes.
And they went the CBS, and they interviewed Macarius. I got films, I got two pictures too, I got pictures there. And my father was there, and I brought him home with us, and stayed with me. He stayed for 2 months. He says, my son, I can't stay. I can't stay here. I have to go out to my people. He didn't speak the language.
What was it like to be with your father?
It was a pleasure. Sure. Feel good. Feel good. Somebody, you know, yeah, you're good. He, you know, it's all right.
Was he proud of you?
Very, 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 very proud, yeah. He's very proud, yeah. He was good. But he says to me, I can't stay here. He says to me, I don't speak the language. I took him to the subway, to the Statue of Liberty. I showed him the Castengari, Ellis Island. Uh-huh. See, my first step is over here. See, and I show him all around the city. I used to drive to Coney Island and throw me different places, you know, Brooklyn everywhere, you know. Yeah, different places.
Tell me, of all the things you've done, which are many, of what are you most proud?
Well, my family. My family, yeah, I believe in my family. Mm-hmm. Here, I served my country. I played my part. Uh-huh. Almost 3 years in the army, we're good. I served good, I believe. I got honorable discharge, uh-huh. And I got made a lot of friends. I got a book, I got 46 states, different people. I have a book, I got 46 states, different people I got in my book.
From the Army?
From the Army, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, except in Nevada and Wyoming, I couldn't get anybody.
Where?
Wyoming and Nevada, we don't have anybody. But the other places, I was in Camp Croft, you're going overseas, so a fella from Brooklyn says to me, Andy, I need some money. I'm going to go home. I don't have any money. You know, I have money all the time. My first pay, I donate to the American Red Cross. They tell you, and I told them I don't. Yeah, but I had money. I don't care.
Your first pay when you your first job?
Yes, when I went to the Army.
Oh, in the Army.
And one more thing happens to me. When I was in 44th Street to go overseas, they give you 10 days furlough to see your friends, your neighbors, say goodbye because you never come back, right? Mm-hmm. So. I went on 47th Street, a cousin of mine, a restaurant there. And I seen another GI sitting up there. Me and my brother, two of us, me and my brother, together. He came from the Air Force. Because he came to see me, he went away. So this guy looked at me like this. Are you Greeks? I said, yeah. I hear you speak Greek. Yeah, I'm Greek too. Where are you from? Cyprus. Yeah, I'm Cyprus. What are you doing here? He said, I'm going overseas. I said, I'm going too. Yeah, he says, my name is John. What's your name? I said, Andy. He says, you know, I got problems. I said, what's the matter? I have no money. Can't you buy something to eat? I said, why not? What do you want? Pork chops? What do you want? Eat steak? What do you want? See, in the meantime, I went to the bank. They called Athens Savings Bank, something like that. Athenian Bank on 34th Street. And I got $300 to spend. I think I had money in the bank. They're going to spend it, though. So I pay, eat, whatever you want. Here's a couple of dollars to spend. Don't worry about it. So he says, I don't know. He says, me, I better not. I said, don't worry, come on. John, he said, Thursday, that was Monday. Thursday, I'm going to Fort Dix. That's where I'm going. We go together, he says. I said, all right. So we left there. Next day, he's out there by himself again. He says to me, Andy, I'm still hungry. I don't. He's got a mother over here, but he didn't go. He was deserted, and I didn't know that. So I fed him. By the meantime, my brother went back to the Army, back in the Air Force in Ohio. So he says to me, I have no place to sleep tonight. I know you have a big room there in your hotel. Can I sleep in the bed where your brother is? I said, all right, John, go ahead, it's okay. So went back in the hotel, and I told the clerk, this man will be here tonight. Put him in there. My brother said, you know, it's okay, fine. So, 2 nights he slept. The third night, I went to see some people. I was going away. I went to some people up in Jerome Avenue. I got some friends there. And I came back, a few drinks or so, you know, feeling better, you know. So, I removed my watch, put it on the table. I went to sleep, but he was awake. He was awake. So what's the matter, John? He says, I can't sleep. He says, I can't sleep. So what's the matter? He says, I don't know, I'm nervous. Well, anyway, fall asleep. And I get up about 1 o'clock. Because I had to go to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I look for my watch, I didn't find it. I couldn't find my watch. I lost it. What happened? So I go down to the desk, I call the desk, I say, what time is this? He says, apparently 1 o'clock. Oy. So I want to get dressed, I look for my money, no money. Money's gone, $300. He took the money, he took my watch, it's gone. So I went back to the restaurant, I asked the girl, I said, you know this guy here? You know, because he told me, I took this girl upstairs to me, you know? I know it well. So I asked him, I said, what's your name? He said to me, name is John. John what? He said to me, John Stefano. Stefano, fine. Went to the police station on 47th Street. And I told him, I said, you know, I was robbed, but not a GI. So he said to me, go upstairs to detectives. So I went to the detectives, I told him the story. He said, I know his name is John Stefano. He's a GI. I didn't know who was deserted, you know. He's going to Fort Dix next Thursday, we're going together. So anyway, we're trying to give him all the report. If we get him, let you know. So he goes, he get the waitress, he beat her up, took her money, and he left. So she went to the police and complained the same thing, went to the MPs and complained, such and such men. So in 2-3 days, they got him to Coney Island, they caught him. So they called me up, I was in Fort Dix before I went overseas. Come identify the guy, see if this guy took your money. So I came over, they took me to the Harmon Third Avenue, some place in the jail. So I'm just shameless of John to take my money. Where is my watch? He said to me, here at the pawn shop, go and get your watches to me. The money, I spend it. And I pay you, when I come out of the army, I pay you. Well, I don't have a dime, so what can I do? So I got my watch, a nice expensive watch, you know. And I went back, the waitress complained that he beat her up and so on. So they didn't want to do anything for him, they sent him back to the army. Took him to the army, went overseas. Well, the story is that when I came back, I got to look for him. I got to find him. So there was a lady in our church by the same name. I said, you know, anybody, Stefano, are you related to such? I mean, yes, to me, we were together in the army. I'd like to see him. I didn't tell him he robbed me and so on. He says to me, on 48th Street, in 8th and 9th Avenue, such is our number. He's with his mother. So, and then we asked his mother, send somebody, have a, do anything for me, the boys, on the guys, go and see him, find him. I'll take care. She told him he works in such a restaurant on 47th Street. So he went up there and talked to him, hey, Andy wants to see you. He said, we said, okay, yeah, here's $5, give it to him, tell him. He said, your money to Andy. He says, okay, give me $5 now. Don't make no trouble for me, so, because I'm only working. He come back, hey, Andy, it's $5 to me. You know, he's going to pay you. So I told him where he was, and I went up there and I find the guy. I said, John, it's $300. Are you going to pay me or what? He said, I'll pay you every penny of it. So he paid me about $20. I lost him. I never find him. So when I bought the house down here, the wife was in the hospital. I met this lady again. I told her, hey, John, you know, he's not there no more. What can it be? You got to see him because I didn't see him yet. We were in the army together, a buddy of mine. He says, he's in Holbrook. Yeah. I said, give me a phone number. So he gave me a phone number. And I call him up from here. I say, John, remember me? Oh, yeah, Andy. I'm going to pay you. I say, wait a minute, John. You said that 15 years you're going to pay me. Where is the money? So he says, oh, I'll pay you. So he paid me $50 a week. He paid me. You clear the account. It's all right, though. Yeah, he clear. But I never see him, though. I never see him. He got married. He had a family, told me. Got 2 children. But what happened, well, I don't know. I never see him, I don't know. But he was off, you know, he wasn't well. A man do anything like this, you know, yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some things happened to me, you don't know. Stories, yeah. I can tell more.
You know. Tell me this, when you first came and for those initial years, did you encounter prejudice against you because you were a Greek?
A Greek. They don't want to see you. Greek. You're Greek.
What kind of experiences did you have like that?
Well, you should for 1 year take it. I don't care. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me.
But that has changed.
Yeah,
do you feel that it's
changed a lot? See, they call you Italian so-and-so, you Greek so-and-so, you so-and-so and so. They call you all kind of names. But you have to swallow it. What are you going to do? Fight with them guys? Sometimes they don't hear.
Now it seems as though it's an honor to have come here as an immigrant and made good and helped make this country strong.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I'm very happy this country should be a flag.
You got all kinds of decorations.
I got the flag outside. The flag. I got a big flag. You stand there all the time. I got a light to go in the night time too. You know, a flag. I'm proud of it.
Is there anything else in closing that you would like to say about having come to this country?
Well, I'm very pleased. I can't complain this country. I'm very happy.
Well, I'd like to say that it's been a pleasure talking with you. I've enjoyed all your stories. I'm sure you have many, many more.
Yes.
But it's been a pleasure. And this is Janet Levine, and I've been talking with Andreas Papadopoulos in his home in Matatuck, Long Island, July 18th, 1992, and I am signing off.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.